Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. I'm Austin Furhill, and along with Tim LaDuca and Nick Giovanelli, it's our first episode after the trade deadline. It actually just passed yesterday, and the Yankees didn't do anything for the second year in a row. But unlike last year, I'm not mad. What was your guys' instant reaction after the deadline passed, and it was clear the Yankees weren't going to do anything?
Well, first I was shocked at how much other teams were doing things. Like, there's, 17 trade deadline moves? And, like, that seems like a lot, especially because I was on the record saying I didn't think there was going to be any.
I didn't think there was going to be, like, anything.
I was kind of right, because the Yankees listened to me. They didn't do anything. And maybe it's just because I was jealous of other teams for making moves. But doesn't it kind of seem like the Yankees needed to make a move? I know that they're on paper good, but they're not performing right now. You even think about injuries as well. I think it wouldn't have hurt to add to this team, and their prospect system is decent.
Well,
I guess they just weren't willing to part with anything for what was all the returns were.
Well, if you noticed, all the deals that did happen, it seems like one person was overpaying for what they were getting.
Yeah.
So, the only two names, well, there was three that really, I don't think Archie Bradley was even on the Yankees' radar. I mean, it might have been. I'm sure Cashman looked into it just to see if he could get an absolute steal, but I really don't think that was a priority for him. I think that was more of a fan thing. But Lance Lynn, it was Lance Lynn and and Mike Clevinger were the two names, and it turns out that the only way they would get them is they would have had to get rid of two out of the three, Clark Schmidt, Davey Garcia, and Clint Frazier, which I'm not willing to do for Lance Lynn at all. I'm not even entertaining the conversation. Some people might be willing to. Someone might be willing to do it for Clevinger. Am I one of those people? Not really. Especially with what happened, with the breaking protocol thing. That was a major red flag, where I'm not giving away a Clint Frazier and a Clark Schmidt. Those are my two guys. I would be very upset if they traded him. So to think it would have taken those two. Would you guys have been willing to do that for Clevinger?
No. I'm not willing to give up Davey Garcia or Clark Schmidt for basically anybody.
Yeah, Tim? I mean, me neither. Maybe, especially two out of the three.
Yeah.
I guess maybe one, just because Clevinger's proven. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like Mike Clevinger would be a good fit in New York anyway, just overreacting. But I bet you he fits well in San Diego. Clevinger's pretty good. Wouldn't hurt to have him. But imagine trading him to the Indians, and then Garcia becomes even better than we expected. I'll take the risk on two of those three players to not have Clevinger. It just wouldn't have been worth it, especially in this season where not, eight teams make it. That's why so many teams are making a run at it. But it's only a three-game series or five-game series to start off. And like, oh no, it's a three-game series. So even if you make it as the one seed, you're not guaranteed to move on.
Yeah.
I know that the Yankees fan base is very reactionary, but
I think they're only reactionary. I don't think there's a rational thought in this fan base.
There's a very...
Including myself.
There's a very... There's moments where it's very clear how reactionary this team is. If I asked half this fan base a month ago if they would be willing to trade Davey Garcia for Lance Lynn, I think almost, I don't want to say almost all, but a very large majority would say yes. And now, Davey Garcia is like the number one thing on the Yankees. Now, am I very happy with how he performed? Of course. He pitched. He didn't give up an earned run in six innings of pitching.
He's the only Yankee to debut and have six innings of no walks and no earned runs in history, in Yankees history.
It was ginormous with how well he pitched. But am I going to expect this from him every performance? No. He's got to develop. There's going to be a snag or two in there. And like a day later, Gerrit Cole has his first bad game as a Yankee.
Second.
Yeah, second.
That one game against the Braves.
Yeah, but for his first
that
loss.
That one wasn't even that bad.
Oh, wait, no. The Braves was his first loss. But it wasn't that bad.
It's just that he had no run support to help him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, your point, Austin.
It was, like, to see the two reactions. I just saw a headline of an article. I did not read the article. I want to make that clear. But the headline's all I needed. And it was on Fansided, and it said, should the Yankees regret signing Gerrit Cole to a record deal? I mean, no. No. The answer's no.
It's amazing to me how so many fans have already turned on Gerrit Cole.
Ridiculous.
Have people turned on him?
There have been.
Twitter's a
nightmare. Have been. Maybe
someone.
I'm hoping I'm on the wrong. That's obviously a joke.
But with this fan base, you don't know. They could have been serious.
But looking at the trade deadline, looking at all the moves, the two main players were the Padres and the Blue Jays. I just got an alert, and I keep getting them, that Yordan Alvarez is not playing, and he's in my lineup for fantasy.
but, he hasn't played all year.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my fantasy.
Wow, you're bad.
My lineup's fire.
So, the two main players in the trade deadline this year were the Blue Jays and the Padres.
I think the Blue Jays did what the Yankees should have done.
Well, the Blue Jays get Robbie Ray and Taijuan Walker. Two pitchers who were both sort of linked with... I don't think Robbie Ray was really linked to this year with the Yankees, but he has been in the past. And Taijuan Walker, who we were linked to this year.
And they got Jonathan Villar.
And they got Jonathan Villar. Imagine if the Yankees got Jonathan Villar. That would have been a phenomenal move. But the issue is, like, when everyone comes back, where are you putting them?
Utility.
Yeah, and is there ever going to be a point with the Yankees where everyone's going to be back? So, no. It would have been nice to have him.
He's like a better Tyler Wade.
A way better Tyler Wade. He's disrespected by how good he is.
I kind of just disrespected him by comparing him to Tyler Wade. I love Tyler Wade, but I'd take VR any day of the week over.
He steals bases for some reason. Like, he has fantasy value because of that.
Who's that?
VR.
I picked him up.
The Mets made some moves.
Oh, I have a tweet for that.
Nope. I got one.
Is it the one that I sent?
I think it is.
Is it about war?
Yes. So, yeah. the Mets have got Robinson Chirinos, Miguel Castro, and welcome back to New York, Todd Frazier.
Did you know Todd Frazier, who's from Tom's River, New Jersey, won the Little League World Series and took a picture with Derek Jeter? Did you know
that? Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Isn't
it? The combined war for those three players, those three new Mets, is negative 0.3.
I looked up Chirinos' stats yesterday. Do you want to know his OPS plus is?
Tell me.
It's 5.
Chirinos is... Isn't he a good catcher?
He's a good catcher.
I think he's a defensive catcher.
Yeah, I would hope so. He's got to be something if that's his OPS plus. Like, he's not there to get on base and to get hits. It's just not going to happen.
He has half of a defensive war in 14 games.
Yeah, he's a good defensive catcher.
He's got a negative 0.6 war.
By getting Todd Frazier, Robinson Chirinos, and losing negative 0.3 war, that it really is subtraction by addition here.
Maybe they're getting Frazier for like a team leader kind of thing, and he's not going to play much.
I don't know. Who are you putting him? Like, who are you taking out to put him in for?
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like he's
JD
just...
Davis play third.
Yeah, JD Davis is a third. If it's not JD Davis, it's Jeff McNeil. Like, I'm not taking
I'm pretty
out.
Sure Rosario can play third.
I mean, there's a DH spot.
That's for Pete Alonso.
Sucks.
Then who's that first?
Dom Smith.
Who's that
first? No, Dom Smith plays left.
Yeah, Dom Smith has been playing left.
Who's they the DH?
Billy Hamilton.
Wilson Ramos, I saw.
Cano has been DH in a bit.
Oh, yeah, because they have Jimenez and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jimenez is nice.
Jimenez is nice. I'd like to give credit to the Twitter account that tweeted that, but I'm uncomfortable with saying the at.
So then don't say it.
It's Shlong Fordo. At Shlong Fordo.
What?
So. Do with that what you want. Do we have to bleep that? I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable to say it, but, you know. That's the Twitter at. So, it
didn't make you uncomfortable to say thank God when you said Tim's not here this week on last week's episode.
That's the running tradition.
That's aft, man.
Ooh, Dan Federico tweeted some stuff about what Cashman said about Dominguez.
Okay.
Cashman says Jason Dominguez was the most asked about July 1st IFA signing that he's ever been asked about in trades, starting from last summer up until yesterday.
They were asking for trades yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were asked in return. They want Dominguez.
Okay.
Cashman says Dominguez was asked about as the second or third piece in some trades. Get out of here.
Second or third piece?
which made it even more of a reason why he wouldn't go through with certain trades in the past. If they're asking for Jason Dominguez, I don't know what to tell them. That's just stupid.
Jason Dominguez is as close to an untouchable player as there is in the MLB right now.
Yeah. He's more untouchable than Trout. Trade Trout. Get him off that team.
He shouldn't have signed that death sentence.
Does he stay in with the Angels the entire contract?
I kind of feel like no.
I think he's that kind of player that'll do it for his team.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not all up to him. Does he have a no trade?
I was thinking to myself, they can't trade him. I want them to, but there's no way they can.
They would need Jason Dominguez in return. And more.
I'd do it.
I would for sure do it.
I'd do it.
Give me Mike Trout.
Well, because if for people saying no, then you're saying you think Jason Dominguez is going to be better than Mike Trout. And I'm not. Jason. He spells it with two S's.
Jason.
I mean, how do you not do that trade?
I would do it. I just tweeted it. Let's see if anyone agrees.
I mean,
did
I'm trading
up as a poll.
What's the most you'll do? I would do Dominguez, Garcia. I have fun in LA. They need a pitcher. King?
I don't know.
Take him.
We have Clark.
I mean, it would take so much. And it'll never happen. It won't happen to the Yankees. I have a theory that they ask more of the Yankees. Whenever doing a trade with the Yankees. Because
Cashman's, robs everyone, so now all they're trying to do is everyone's trying to fleece Cashman.
Now I have a question: I don't know the Padres farm system, obviously. So is what the Padres gave the Indians, is that better than a Clint and a Davey?
Or a
Schmidt and a Clint, or a Schmidt and a Davey.
They gave them Austin Hedges, Josh Naylor, Kyle Quantrill, Gabriel Arias, Owen Miller, and Joey Cantillo.
I think Naylor and Quantrill were the pieces there.
Wait, where did Taylor Trammell go?
He went to Seattle. That was the deal.
That's a good trade.
That was a steal by the Mariners.
Yeah,
I don't know what the Padres were. I am all for them getting. I am all for the Padres going after Nola, but that was ridiculous. Dude, I mean, he's 30. He's 30 years old, and he's just breaking into the league.
Why wouldn't you do that? Would you trade for what's his name? Yastrzemski, he's 30.
I wouldn't. I think he's a flash in the pan.
What?
I think the same thing.
I think he's legit.
It's just taking him so long.
First off, Taylor Trammell can't catch a break. I mean, he was a part of the Bauer trade also. Because remember, that Bauer trade was a three-way trade.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he was the Reds' number one prospect and goes to the Padres. How did the Padres do that? Oh, they sent... Oh, Fernando Reyes was with San Diego. I do not remember that at all.
Yeah.
That part I remember.
I don't remember Fernando Reyes ever being with San Diego. But Trammell was a part of that trade. Now he gets traded again.
Trammell Ray is going off this year.
Trammell.
So he goes from the Reds to the Padres, which was in a trade that was including the Indians, and now he's going back to the Indians. Well, not back to the Indians, but now he's going to the Indians. Oh, no, he's not. My bad. He's not a part of the... Seattle. Yeah, he's going to Seattle. He's not a part of the Clevenger trade. But what an absolute... What a weird... Weird trade that was.
Seattle got good. In 10 yeah, but 4 years.
I'm sorry. They have to fire that GM. He is way too trade happy. How many times has Malik Smith been on that team? Like three times? I remember he got traded there, and then they traded him the same day to the Rays, and then he gets traded back from the Rays. The Rays also traded...
He led the league in stolen bases last year, jeez.
The Rays also traded Jose Martinez, who was a part of that Cardinals trade, after they traded away Pham, and they needed more outfielders. They traded for...
Yeah, they traded away an outfielder, and then they were looking for outfield bats, because, you know.
It's not like they had a really good one.
They got that prospect. He was good.
Renfro?
No.
I don't know who you're referring to then. But they traded Martinez to the Cubs, so good for you, Tim.
Oh, Randy or Rosarena.
That's a name and a half. And the Rays got two players to be named later.
A lot of players to be named later this year.
Yeah, Tommy Malone is heading to the Braves from the Orioles for two players to be named later.
It's because you can only trade people on your 60-man roster. This season only.
Okay. Cameron Maybin heading to the Cubs.
Hell yeah.
I wish we traded for him. I wanted that, him back.
It would have been a nice move. Brian Goodwin to the Reds. Archie Bradley to the Reds.
They picked up some good players.
Ross Stripling,
the only two,
to the Blue Jays. They were looking for pitchers galore in Toronto.
Wait. So they got Stripling, Walker, Robbie Ray, and Jonathan VR.
Yeah.
Them and...
Mike Minor is going to the A's for two players to be named later. Kevin PR to the Rockies for a player to be named later.
He's out of the division, baby. Again.
As we've said, Robbie Ray to the Blue Jays. Travis Bergen to the Diamondbacks.
Jonathan to the A's, right?
Yeah, Lestella. I think I'm getting to that.
Okay. My bad.
VR to the Blue Jays, Griffin Konen to Konine, I don't know, who cares.
Wait, what a name. Marlins. Griffin Konine. What a name.
I always liked the name Griffin as a first name.
I don't, really.
Well,
to each their own.
Guess we have to fight each other about it. Starling Marte to the Marlins, the buyers every year. Caleb Smith, former Yankee, going to the Diamondbacks, Humberto Mejia, and Julio Frias. And then, of course, we have the huge Clevenger trade. Clevenger, Greg Allen, and a player to be named later to the Padres. Quantrill, Josh Naylor, Gabriel Arias, Joey Cantillo, Austin Hedges, and Owen Miller to the Indians. So, I mean, they really wanted Clevenger. Tommy Listella to the A's, and Franklin Barreto to the Angels. Jared Dyson to the White Sox, and the Pirates got international slot money. I didn't know Jared Dyson was with the Pirates.
I only did because I saw his card on MLB The Show.
I do because I watched a Pirates Tigers game where they scored like 12 runs each.
I remember that game.
Brett Phillips got traded to the Rays. That was a little while ago. That's on August 27th. I mean, that's a sneaky good move for the Rays right there. And then, I'm sure we've been over this, I think, but the Yankees traded David Hale to the Phillies.
Oh, yeah.
For Addison Russ. And the Phillies also got Workman and Heath Hembry.
Workman blew his first save.
Yes, right. His first save, he blew it. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the trade deadline. And like I said, I wasn't mad that we didn't make a trade. Because I knew, I didn't think we were going to make one. Because
I didn't think so either.
Because what were we going to do?
We couldn't trade for David Phelps for three players to be named later.
Do we need him? Like,
our bullpen's ass.
Well, we got Zach Britton back today. Zach Britton is activated. I mean, this is a team right now that is hurt so bad, and it's affecting the results of the games.
I miss Tommy Canley.
Last year, it didn't affect the results of the games, really. It was an insane next man up thing. This is what should have happened to us last year, if we're being honest.
That's a good call. That's why this feels worse, because it feels like they're supposed to be still playing well because of the injuries. We were spoiled last year because of injuries and the way players stepped up.
I mean, we're without DJ LeMahieu. Wait, no, he just came back. But we were without him for a while. We're without Aaron Judge. We're without Giancarlo Stanton. Luis Severino's not there.
Tommy Canley hurts more than you think.
Gleyber Torres, he was our best reliever last year outside of maybe Chapman.
Not you guys think, but like I don't really think about it. More than you think about.
Yeah. It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot. And he's
got himself out of that bases loaded situation and then he got hurt, right?
I think he might have been already hurt, or he got hurt during that.
He struck out the side.
But that was his last pitching performance, and it was maybe the best we've ever seen him.
Yeah, he finishes the season with a 27 K per 9 ratio, and an average exit velocity of 101 miles an hour. That's not good.
Not really, no.
You know who was good, though?
A FIP of .13.
You know who was good?
Who?
Davey Garcia.
We could talk about that.
That's not where you were going?
No, it's not, but I have...
Sorry.
We have... It's fine, it really doesn't matter. We have mentioned how well he had done. And, like we said, 6 innings, no runs... no earned runs. There was one unearned. And no walks. And that's just not something you see often. And he's a fun pitcher to watch, too. The best thing ever was his relationship with Eric Kratz.
It's beautiful. It really is.
It's just... When Eric Kratz first ran out onto the field... Here, I actually have it here.
Davey Garcia is 21. Let's see if we can hear it.
So, he runs out on the field and he says, I'm so excited to play catch with his son. Well, he says, I'm so excited to play catch with my son. And it's not like... This relationship is interesting to me. Because he was so excited, and they have such a great relationship, but it's not like they've been together forever.
Well, the last 2 years in AAA, right?
Well, Eric Kratz, it's interesting, because Eric Kratz was like a Yankee on like 3 different stints, but he never stays there the whole time.
He played 17 games in AAA 2018 and 46 in 2019.
Oh my God, his baseball reference page is so big. It's so big. So he was with, he's with us right now.
Yeah, he probably caught Garcia a lot in the minors last season.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I forgot he was with us last year.
Yeah, he played 46 games for Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
He was with, he started off with the Giants last year, gets moved to the Rays, and then he's with us. Yeah, so he's been all over the place. He's with us again in 2018. He was with us in 2017. I mean, Cashman really seems to like the guy.
I was really happy for Kratz when he was with Milwaukee. He was doing
So was I. In the postseason, he was unreal.
He's tall as shit.
He really is.
He's huge. I did not know how big he was.
He's like a bloated Brett Gardner. What he looks like.
He is. He's 6'4", 250.
I mean, this is not a small man.
You wearing that dope lion bandana?
Yep, yeah, the headband is so sick. 6'4", 250. 40 years old. He was picked in the 29th round of the 2002 draft.
Wait, guys, he's got an ERA.
Does he?
His ERA is 3.60.
What's like he pitch?
He's made 5 appearances.
Registered pitching.
He's got a 1.38 ERA plus.
He pitched
255 FIP. Yeah.
He has a whip of 1.8.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. He's pitched 5 innings.
Wait, what is his ERA plus?
1.38.
Why is he low-key good? Well, that happens a lot with catchers.
1.38?
Yeah.
He is better than three-finger Mordecai Brown, same ERA plus as Cy Young, better than Christy Mathewson, better than Corey Kluber, better than Rube Waddell.
Yeah.
Better than Noodles Han. Who the fuck is that?
Noodles Han. Wait, I have a breaking development here, guys.
Noodles Han is not alive.
I have proof that the Astros never cheated.
Because they couldn't hit Eric Kratz?
No, Eric Kratz's ERA with the Astros is significantly worse than anywhere else. So, they obviously aren't cheating ever. He is an 18. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing, fellas. He has an ERA of 9 with the Astros. He has an ERA of 0 with the Pirates, so I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't think the Astros cheated. As I almost start crying.
Tim, who does he have a better FIP than? He's got 255.
Man, do you think you could get a better pitcher in the 1800s?
Maybe.
Dude, I think you could.
No, I don't think I could. My name's not weird enough.
My name would be... What would your pitcher name be back then? I'd be... Flute Laduca. Flute. That's a sick name. What would your 1800s pitcher name be?
That's a phenomenal question.
Mine's Flute Laduca.
Flute Laduca?
I'm looking at weird 1800s names.
Should I go for, like, Austin Horsetail?
That's a good... I like that one.
That's kind of fire. What's mine?
I love this question. This is a phenomenal question. Throw that up on Twitter. I want to see.
I'm doing it right now. I'm doing. Awesome. What's your vintage baby what the street you grew up on? And no, your least favorite food and the street you grew up on. Wait, what should the questions be?
It's just, it's so. Now, we have a few answers to our would you trade Jason Dominguez for Mike Trout?
Yeah, we have a decent amount.
So, at Liberty Drewski wrote, I mean, obviously without batting an eye. I am 100% with him. Nick Barish, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Sorry, buddy. At Barish N22 wrote, yes, you have no idea if Jason will reach his potential. And, I mean, what's his potential? Cause his could his potential be anything more than Mike Trout?
Yes.
I mean,
dude,
I
think he's a switch hitter. He's already better than Mike Trout.
Oh, but you know what? I have bad news. He's jacked.
He's going to be injured all the time.
Yep.
Well, so's Trout.
Trout isn't jacked. He's just
thick. Trout is built like a house.
But not like this. This looks unnatural.
You can be built and not be jacked. Like, Trout is built. Stanton is
Jason,
jacked. You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm kind of worried about how big Dominguez is.
And he's, what, 19?
You know what, Tim?
He looks like Eric Thames.
Tim, I have an issue with you.
What? You always do.
Oh, never mind. You changed the question. Because at first, when you were reading it out, you said, what's your, like, least favorite food?
Yeah, I changed it.
So I thought you wrote that your least favorite food was a hot dog, and I was about to throw hands.
Hot Dog Landstone's a dope name, though. What's your guys' name?
Your first name is what you had for lunch, and your last name is the street you grew up on. My street was a number.
Yeah, the street doesn't work with me either.
You guys both grew up on numbered streets?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I guess that's a New York City problem.
It's because we didn't grow up upstate.
Alright, what's your street then?
If I did this then, it would be Granola Bars 37.
What street do you live on now?
47.
Oh, you still live on
I moved up 10 street. Blocks.
Oh. Austin, what's yours?
I don't really want to say my street name because it has, like, I still live directly next to it, and it has the name of the town in the street name. But
then adjust it.
Man, we said ours.
Wait, what did you want yours to be?
You don't get to see yours well.
I mean, what's my...
Oh, you said Austin Horsetail. That's a dope one.
Austin Horsetail is, like, just the one I came up with. Your first name...
I like
name,
Flute LaDuca.
Your first name is what you had for lunch. I had chicken tenders.
Tenders.
Tender. And it's also such a long street name.
It's a good thing you don't have to spell it out. Just saying.
It'd be Tender South Conger Avenue.
Conger.
I'll just do the avenue. Granola Bar Ditmars.
That's so good. The Phillies just activated David Phelps.
Trade Jason Dominguez right now. Trade him for scraps. I don't care.
Give me a first round pick for Jason Dominguez. That's it.
That's it.
We
give
have
me a player to be named later.
We have
give me international slot money.
So we could just go sign him again?
Yeah.
Yeah, or like just flood the market with Jason Dominguez.
We have one answer that said they wouldn't trade Dominguez for Trout. And he wrote, no, because he is the next Trout, so we will have Trout for the next 20 years. That's from at number Yankee. The only issue with that is I don't think we could just say he's the next Trout. I hate that comparison. I don't know.
He's going to be the first Jason Dominguez.
No, it's not that. I don't think people realize how good Mike Trout is.
No, that's how good this kid is. I'm fully on board with Dominguez.
I believe he's that good because these are scouts that are saying he's that good. Like, it's not but just...
Scouts also say that amazing players aren't going to be good. You know?
Well, it's not easy to be a scout. You're literally asking them to predict the future. So, I mean, it's just not an easy... It's not an easy job, so there's going to be a few misses in there.
Shit. Worst scouting reports
MLB. Well,
now I want to see this.
Remember when Jeter was the year Jeter was getting drafted, the Astros had the number one pick. And there was a scout that was so for the Astros taking Jeter that said, "If you don't take Jeter, I'm gonna quit."
Did he quit?
I would if he lived up to what he said he was going to, then yes. They instead picked Phil Nevins, who is now the third base coach of the New York Yankees.
I'm not getting any reports. I'm just getting what they said.
I think it's safe to say that Derek Jeter had a better career than Phil Nevins.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, you could go either way on that one. But remember earlier when Tim showed rudely, incorrectly pointed out my transition. I was trying to talk about Hap, who had a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
And apparently he got mad when they took him out and then they lost the lead. And is Hap, like, becoming a problem now?
Well, he was a problem for me when he wasn't pitching good. And that's most of the time.
What about Cole when he got... I think Cole, I listened to your guys' take on this last episode. I think he got too mad. It was, like, kind of embarrassing. He was, like, really mad.
He was, like, livid, like...
I think it was an overreaction on his part. Maybe not immediately after, but, like, in the press game, in the post-game report, when he, like, almost cried...
You guys want to see this is what I'm talking about with reactionary Twitter. I am looking at Brian Hoke, who tweeted, J.A. Happ is not a happy man. This was after the game where they took him out, after he pitched well. Here's one tweet. It says, Yankees have worst bullpen, worst manager, worst GM. Too much garbage. Hicks, Sanchez, Gardner, Anavito, Green, Holder, Sessa. Cole is not an ace. Tanaka, 500 pitcher. Torres and Duhar can't field. Stan and Judge, not worth all the hype. Be like Tampa, clutch hitting, great starters.
All of Tampa's starters are hurt.
This one says, I want Boone fired. Boone.
I've seen that a lot.
Third fucking time this week, pulling a starter and overmanaging. Fire Boone. Hire Buck Showalter. Boone is the worst manager in baseball. Boone can be so dumb. The Yankees bullpen is garbage. Fire Boone. I mean...
But, you see, with some of those... I do think he's overmanaging the pitching or not doing it enough because there's been times where he's either left them in too long to steal outs or he's taking them out too early And but like, you can kind of say that, but you got to trust in your bullpen, and they just haven't been performing this year.
And here's the thing. Boone is the first manager ever to have 200 wins after two seasons. Ever. I don't care that this season's shorter. I don't care. It's ridiculous to say you want Boone fired. It's nuts.
Facts.
Well, yeah. But there is some truth to some, very few, of those overreactions.
I think he's just getting lucky. You guys ever been to the casino?
No, but I won a few dollars off of Thrive once.
You nice. Jerk. You didn't pay us for that?
No, it wasn't us who did it.
Oh. Well, I might clip this. So, let me say, Boone's managing mistakes are kind of like playing roulette. Have you ever played roulette? Where you choose black or white?
I haven't, but I know how it works, but I haven't played it.
Black's hot, so you put money on black, it loses. So you're like, oh shit, I'll put it on red, and red loses. And then you go back to black, and you do black again, it loses. Red. And you're like, it's a 50-50 shot. You keep going back and forth, and you're just getting an unlucky streak where you keep losing no matter what you do. Boone leaves a starter in too long, he gets shelled. Boone puts a reliever in too early, he gets shelled. These are things that sometimes could be going the other way, and I think he's just getting unlucky with the situations right now in kind of an unlucky streak. I don't think he's making the wrong choices. He's just getting unlucky back to back to back, if that makes any sense.
No, I completely agree. I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Because if he made the right decision 4 out of 5 times, we wouldn't get mad. We wouldn't be as mad about the one, but he's made the wrong decision now a few times in a row, and it seems like it's his fault, but he might not make this mistake again the rest of the year.
Then there's Chad Green, who, like, dude, come on. What's going on with him? True. It's like we're getting April 2019 Chad Green.
Is Chad Green's workload too high right now because of the injuries?
He didn't pitch
10 days.
You're right.
Between appearances.
Oh, true. They didn't use him forever. That's the issue.
They used him like when was it? Was it against Atlanta where he blew it? Yeah, it was with Freddie Freeman. He blows it that game. Then they don't use him for 10 days. Then he blows it against the Rays or the Mets. Why can't I remember this already? It happened this week.
No, the 16th to the 26th, he wasn't used. They used him in Boston, and then they didn't use him till Atlanta 10 days later, and he blew the lead. And then he blew the lead again against the Mets 2 days later.
There we go, yeah.
So it was a 10-day layoff between Boston and Atlanta that he had an issue.
But then 2 days after Atlanta, he blew it.
Well, then 2 days after that, against New York, he gets 3 strikeouts. And the win.
Look at Chad Green's appearances. What am I thinking of? Because he's blown it twice now.
Yeah, so the 16th against Boston, he pitches well. 10 days later, he blows it against Atlanta. 2 days later, he blows it against the Mets. 2 days after that, he gets the win and 3 strikeouts. So he's starting to be used consistently again, and that's he may be figuring it out. There was those 2 games when he had a 10-day layoff, and that was not good.
I have I found the greatest Twitter account of all time, I think. And it's Baseball's Best Fans. Now, it looks like this is an exclusive to St. Louis thing, unfortunately. Where they're only doing St. Louis fans. But there was, and this is, I mean, awful. There's... You guys... I'm going to say the thing that they wrote, and you're all going to know someone like that. I work with a guy who played with the Cardinals at one time. He wrote that weird. At one time, and he has a brother who works for the higher brass of the Cardinals, and he's telling me that we are out of the Stanton sweepstakes, and that Donaldson is the next third baseman. Don't shoot the messenger. And then there's two screenshots that just clearly shows that's not true. Now this one is awful. It says Jack Flaherty honors Chadwick Boseman with awesome cleats. That was the name of the article. And then three comments on it are, one says, let's just honor all felons. One says, what was he wearing? Nike Air Criminals? What a joke. And the other one says, hey, what about some kid? I don't want to say the kid's name. He's five. The five-year-old who was shot in the head by his neighbor. Kids' lives matter. I don't...
People suck.
I don't get it.
That's all I got.
Because, I mean, first off, Chadwick Boseman is not someone who was a victim of police brutality.
He was an amazing person, man.
The movie 42 is my favorite movie of all time.
One of six. It had a one out of six chance of being the best movie you've ever seen.
Well, wait, I mean, like that movie? You like 42 more than Wreck-It Ralph?
Oh, I do. 42 wow. Was such a good movie. You guys have both seen it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's okay, Tim, if you haven't.
Tim, why did you say it like that?
Because I haven't seen it.
Watch it. It is such a good movie. And it's an easy watch, too. It flows so nicely. Directed beautifully.
Yeah.
Acted beautifully. I think it was his best movie. I really do.
But I just got to say something about Chadwick Boseman.
Go ahead.
He was an amazing actor, but you got to... I know, like, I'm not saying that you guys are doing this, but you have to take him for what he was as a person aside from acting. Because he was just such a good person.
Not only that, he was so smart. Like, heard him talk? He was so well-spoken.
Yeah, and it's...
He gave this one speech. I think everyone should watch it. It was Denzel Washington was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And Boseman was given the... presenting it to him. And there was... He was telling a story about... He went to... I keep forgetting the name of the college he went to. But he was in college. And he got a scholarship or an invitation to a theater school. That was, I can't remember the school, but it was like a very good school for Howard. Acting and theater. He was at Howard, and then he got a scholarship to, I can't remember where, but he got a scholarship to some really good theater school, and he wasn't going to go because he couldn't afford it. So one of the teachers there texted Denzel Washington and told him the situation, and then Denzel Washington paid his entire tuition. And I am not as well spoken as Boseman is, because the way... What do you say to someone who does something that extremely nice to you? There's nothing you can really say that sounds genuine enough and sincere enough to, like, fulfill the gratitude you actually feel. But he actually did it in a way. It was so heartfelt, and he was lifting, not only talking about what he's done for him, but also the entire acting world. And it got Denzel to the point where Denzel was actually in tears and gave him a standing ovation. And it was phenomenal. I think everyone should watch it. And also, everyone should watch 42. Just such a great movie. But moving on from that. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code Boogie when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
So, we got to talk about some of the Yankees coming back. There's only two, but it's Britton and Higgy. Now, here's what scares me. With Higgy coming back, where's Kratz going to go?
We could lose him. And we can lose Higgy, too, if we send him. We can't. Oh, my God. I didn't think about this.
I don't want to lose Kratz.
Neither do I.
I don't want anyone catching Davey yet. Anyone else.
Room for 3 catchers?
I don't.
Is there ever room for 3 catchers?
Since we DFA'd Jordy Mercer.
You know what? Since we did DFA them, that means that they're both on the roster right now. Both Higgy and Kratz.
We sent Yajore down for Britton. And then Jordy Mercer got DFA'd so Higgy could come back.
So I think that means they're rolling with 3 catchers right now.
I think isn't there expanded rosters to a point still?
Yeah, I think it's 20. It's still
28.
I think it's still 28.
Yeah, because the Yankees have been carrying a dumb amount of pitchers.
They sure have been.
That makes John Sterling very, 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 very mad.
Now,
September 1st, active rosters expand.
I know you have some sort of you have some sort of rant or some sort of point you want to bring up with John Sterling. Can you just get it over with? Because I feel like I'm going to be on the opposite side of you.
All right. I will preface this by saying whoever is the radio announcer for the Cardinals is worse. He's terrible. I've listened to him as well. That being said, I've listened, I think, to all 30 radio announcers. So I at least have some knowledge on this. I listen to the Yankees a lot, but I haven't been listening to the Yankees broadcast very often. I've started to listen to the other team's broadcasters, which kind of sucks because they talk about the opposing team more. But I can't listen to Donald Sterling anymore. Susan Waldman, she's great. But I can't listen to Donald Sterling. His game action calls, I'll give him this, are good. He calls a good home run. His home run calls are kind of cheesy, but he's got a good big game voice. It is the incessant, selfish, self-centered, just droning and babbling on in between pitches and in between action. all he does is try to push some 1923 agenda that he has about bunting and having one pitcher go all nine innings. And he has no room for anyone else. He doesn't. He only lists average home runs and RBIs. And I get it; those are nice and easy to kind of list off every time a player comes to bat. But he is so against all the other ones: exit velocity, FIP. Won't even dare to learn any of it. Problem is he thinks that he is the end-all, be-all of baseball knowledge. When the Yankees had second and third on Saturday with no outs, or he had first and second, no outs, Jordy Mercer was up and he grounded out to third base. I screamed at my car radio because of the way he was talking about bunting. Oh my God.
Well,
I can't stand him.
I was watching it with my brother, who's a Mets fan. So we would switch off.
Family of Mets fans. I'm sorry.
We would switch off Yankees broadcast and Mets broadcast, to be fair. So for that game, we were listening to the Mets one. And Keith Hernandez was doing the exact same thing with the bunting. There was a few times Gardner didn't bunt. He was confused why they weren't pinch hitting with Gary on the bench. He said he thinks Gary's probably hurt. And then Gary Cohen was like, the dude's hitting like 170. And I was screaming at the Mets booth, who I think they have a very good booth. But
yeah,
bunting thing was
that's just one example of his.
It's the bunting is my biggest issue. Here's what I want to see a bunt. I want to see a bunt when you're bunting against the shift and there's no one by third base. Bunt then, not any other time.
Robbie Cano bunt for a double. That's all I think of. Yeah.
Didi did it a lot. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. I am completely fine with that.
Someone like Tyler Wade.
Yeah. Tyler Wade. I'm still good with the Brett Gardner bunt every once in a while.
I never want to see, like, Judge bunt.
I don't want to see. Here's what I don't. I don't want to see a sack bunt. Ever.
Unless it's the pitcher, but that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. I am okay. If you're bunting for a hit, I am okay with that.
Oh, if you can't bunt to break up a no-hitter still.
Oh, no. Never. But don't you ever sacrifice bunt. I hate it. I hate it so much. Noticed that sack flies have just kind of disappeared?
Yeah, really? They used to be like the Yankees thing.
They just kind of like disappeared.
Wait, before we go to that, besides the bunting, I have other things that he said.
Okay.
And first off, this is a mistake. This is just something that's not really baseball knowledge. He doesn't understand live mics. He keeps thinking people are talking in his headphones when it's just noise from the field. That's pretty funny. He said that he doesn't believe the balls were juiced last year. He said people claim the balls were juiced last year. I don't think so. So he said it in his voice. The balls were definitely juiced last year.
Oh, 100%.
He said, he goes, after Stanton hit one of his home runs, I think it was against the Nationals, he goes, he didn't even hit that one that hard. Guess what the exit velocity was?
110.
It was 103. That's still very fast. He's so critical of the shift. Anytime that the shortstop moves a little bit to the left, he's critical of the shift. He says that the Yankees are tripping over themselves having too many relievers.
Their bullpen
sucks. And he said that baseball has regressed because of advanced analytics.
Baseball's regressed?
And that take as a whole, no matter who's saying it, is like, bro, come on.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, I'm not going to... Oh, you go ahead.
I'm not going to crucify him for it because he's 81.
I am. Get him off the radio then. He's going to be praised when he retires, and he's just so subpar.
Okay, I don't think maybe he's not subpar.
I have a personal quandary with him. He's average. I don't think he's that great of an announcer. And he's going to be a Yankees Hall of Famer.
Well, here's
like
the
that.
Thing. Here's the thing. He... I can see your points. And yeah. I don't think that he's... Here's how... I don't really measure announcers based on their opinions of baseball. Really. Well, that's obviously part of it, because that's what they're saying on the air. But I do think he is good at calling a game.
I don't know. He can barely pay attention to the action. Strike. I'll get back to my point. what I was saying, fastball outside.
How do you feel about Susan?
Susan's fine.
I like Susan.
It's different. I think he just talks too much about stuff to be a radio announcer. I don't think Michael Kay would be that good of a radio announcer. I think he likes the sound of his own voice too much and likes to talk.
Well, that's what you have to do on the radio.
On the TV. Michael Kay is good at storytelling, and he there's more leeway.
Yeah. Well, Michael Kay. Michael Kay started on the radio.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he started with it was him and Sterling. And then they moved Michael Kay to the TV booth.
Did he do play by play?
No, he was they kind of like switched off with it almost. It was kind of interesting. If you listen to like an old if you watch like an old Yankees classics with like a World Series or something, you will get a John Sterling, Michael Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what they did on the radio. And, I mean, he was... You can tell he's improved, Michael Kay. And mm-hmm. Michael Kay is my idol. I love Michael Kay.
Well, exactly. Michael Kay improved from when he was younger. John Sterling is 81 now, so...
Yeah, he's declining a bit. I mean, he's not going to be as fast. And he's not going to be as evolutionary as someone new. But I mean,
give me Ryan Rucco. I'll listen to the Spanish broadcast.
I love Ryan Rucco.
Ryan Rucco's good.
He's good Ryan on the Rucco radio. He's good on TV. But I think he's too good for radio.
Yeah.
I don't want him taking full-time radio job.
Yeah. Well, he's probably going to have to with Michael Kay. Michael Kay's not going anywhere.
Well, because Rucco has so many jobs.
Rucco might go to a different team.
He does ESPN. He does basketball. He does the Nets.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does, he does a lot. So, by the way, Yes Network, with like all their teams, have phenomenal booths. I mean, Ian Eagle, Richard Jefferson, Ryan Rucco, and Sarah Kusak are phenomenal with the Nets. Then you have, I mean, how many, wasn't there like a 12-man booth with the Yankees at one point? You have Singleton, Kay, O'Neill, Cohn. I think Cohn is one of the smartest analysts I've ever heard.
I love Cohn. Every time he talks is like, it's either a fun story or it's a
phenomenal point.
He's great. Gotta love Paul O'Neill from the basement, too.
I love Paul O'Neill from the basement.
Yeah. Oh, Paul O'Neill from the basement has been a phenomenal, like, I didn't think it'd be better since they've been separated, and it somehow is.
I thought it would kind of suck since he's got a little bit of delay, but every time I see Thoughts from the Basement before again, I'm like, ha!
Who would have thought he's still living in Ohio? Was he born in Ohio? I know he was with Cincinnati.
he was born in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense because he played for Cincinnati. So it kind of a lot of times they get drafted by a team they're close by. Happens a lot. But yeah, I don't know. I have too much respect for John Sterling to say I agree with you.
I get some of your points.
Yeah, I get some of your points. But I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to say I don't like John Sterling, and I'm not going to say that I want him out of the booth, because I don't think either of those things are true.
But I get where you're coming from.
I like how we just tag-teamed our answer, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, you basically said what I was thinking, and I just kind of added to it.
I will say some radio, I listened to the Marlins Mets yesterday at work. The Marlins announcers were kind of boring, but I was never, mad at them. I get mad at Sterling.
You know what I recently realized, and my brother had the same realization, is we would argue who's the better booth, the Yankees or the Mets.
It's the Yankees, God.
And I think we both now agree that both of them are very good. Yeah. But when you watch a different team, there's some bad booths out there.
Yeah.
And I don't ever really like saying something like that because I have a lot of respect for people that are able to get that job. I don't think you just get that job by accident.
Yeah.
But, I hate watching a Chicago White Sox game. I hate it. It's awful.
What? What's his name?
I don't think it's them as much as it is the market. Because the market in Chicago is always it's very biased.
Jason Benetti is one of my favorite announcers.
I honestly don't pay attention when I watch a different game.
What did you think of Hawk?
What am I supposed to... I don't know who that is.
Is that his name, Hawk? Hank? I don't know. The guy that was the White Sox announcer. He just retired last year.
Yeah.
I could not stand him.
I know. I remember Hawk. They had a thing for him too. No, I don't really. I didn't have any real opinion on him.
I could not stand him. He is. I hate the whole bias. I remember at one point, there was a pretty atrocious call. But he was like, Joe West has had it out for the White Sox for so many years. He said, this guy, he should be suspended from the game of baseball. And I'm like, dude, what? All he did was call a balk. Relax. I cannot stand him. No one cares about a balk that shouldn't have been called in a regular season game in Chicago when the White Sox suck at that time. And here's the thing. I like the White Sox. I want to watch them, but I can't when all I hear is it's not an analysis of the game. It's what they want to happen. I can't do that. We're running pretty long here, so I'm going to end it on a, I don't know, kind of a dumb fact. We brought up Michael Yohuri.
Miguel Yohuri.
Miguel, my bad. He was the first player to ever wear the number 89.
In MLB history.
So, now, numbers 0 through 99 have all been worn.
Pretty amazing.
I can't believe it took this long.
No one picked 89?
Yeah, that seems really? A pretty cool number.
Yeah, the other ones are more random, like 83 or... I guess it's a football number. What's a really... 47?
47 is actually kind of popular. But like,
yeah, shoot, it is.
Dude, but like, you're gonna pick 64.
Or today's 60... our 69th episode.
Is it?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Let me wrap it up on reading the replies from the names.
Okay, I want to hear these.
We got Pizza Park. Pork Brooks, I think, is the most realistic one. Oh, this one's good too. Turkey Sixtione. Baguette 61. Raven. Granola North.
61.
Granola North and Chicken Soup 42nd.
Chicken Soup 42nd.
Those are pretty good. I want this to be to go viral. All
right. Thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next episode. We hope to get more of your answers.
Yeah.
And go Yankees.
Go Bills.
Garrett Cole is a New York Yankee. Don't DFA Cole. Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Boogie Pod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.